Deuteronomy 7, 1 and 2, seven evil spirits. We're on the Canaanites. You see it every day. Canaanites, briefly, are spirits that just produce perversions of all kinds. Like, on the news yesterday, I saw a famous artist. I don't want to say the guy's name, but millionaire, multimillionaire. He's supposed to have like $400 million. And he's being indicted for perversion of every type. Just total perversion. And I saw that clip of him in court. I said, there it is. There's the Canaanite spirit. Complete perversion and addiction. That's what that is. And these perversions and these addictions, direct result of the Canaanite spirit in operation. Somebody says, I don't believe it. That's fine. You can believe what you wish. But I know what the word says about this. We're talking about Canaanite spirits. We're at Matthew chapter 20. Now, somebody says, well, I haven't heard this. Okay, fine. Go to the main website. You go down the page where it'll say a learn more about Grace Point. It'll be a box. It's actually a rectangle. And hit it and go over where it says, when it gets there, you look up and it says Radio Archives. Hit that. It'll take you to the teaching series. Go all the way down. And the entire series on seven evil spirits sitting there up to the very moment we are in right now. Okay? And you can backtrack and you can find out about these spirits. You can start at number one and they're all on demand. Listen to them. Go to number two. Whatever. Okay? All right. Matthew chapter 20 is our first scripture and verse 25. Okay, I want you to see this because it's important dealing with this system of the Canaanites, because the Canaanites has another caveat, another add-on. All right, I'll show you what it is. But Jesus called unto them and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. Then verse 26. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And here's 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Now, I want you to see, back up and look at verse 26. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever be great among you, let him be your minister. The minister there actually means servant. So whoever shall be great among you, let him be your servant. And then in 27, and whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. The servant turns into a slave. That's right. In verse 28, ministers serve. Even as the Son of Man came not to minister, but to minister. Notice the word ministered, but to minister. It means double service. It means the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but be ministered. Now, what happens here is that the Canaanite spirit wants to take that order of Matthew 20, 25 through 28, and he wants to pervert it. It's spiritual perversion, the order of things. Because how do I know? Because Jesus called unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. Who are the prince of the Gentiles. Who are these princes of the Gentiles? It's that seven evil spirits, among other things. They're princes of the Gentiles. What are they doing? They exercise dominion. And that's what these spirits try to do. They exercise dominion. That's how they function. That's what you see. That's why these perversions and these addictions, they're dominated by them. Because, as we found out, they have no judgment. These people have no judgment. Well, it's okay. It's right. Nothing wrong with it. You heard that? Everybody else is doing it. Fine with me. We'll just do it because everybody else is doing it as well. And that's causing, well, they're doing it, so it must be nothing wrong with that because they're doing it. They're perverted, so it's okay for me to be perverted. They're addicted. That's how the spirit of the Canaanites sweep people into the addictions. They're addicted. The advertising of our brands today, certain products, sweep addictions. The drug dealer in the high school wants to, what? Get that teenager addicted and then have dominion. Once they're addicted, the dominion is real. Like this particular personality, I'm not going to call their name. Not going to give them any honor by calling their name. This personality would get these certain addictions into the life of young girls, young people, and they became slaves. Exactly what they were. And they were controlled by this guy. Very popular music guy. Okay? They would be controlled by this guy. This guy would control them. And he could do anything with them, to them, and get them to do anything to others that person wanted to do. And they would be addicted to this, and they were trapped and couldn't get out. Because if they got out, this individual would say, there, I'm taking away all your money. I'll throw you out in the street. You won't be able to find food. I'll throw you out in the street. I'll tell everybody what you've done. Throw you out in the street. That's dominion. And this spirit, notice what it says. Jesus called unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles, notice plural, princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. And that's what the Canaanite spirit does, because the alcohol, the sexual perversions, the tobacco, the drugs have dominion over that individual. They have total control. Complete control. They can't. Well, I can't help it. I got to have another whatever. So they go out and they're robbing stores and they're shooting people and everything they do because they're driven by these spirits. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24. Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians 12, 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, has given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Now, verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Notice this. The disunity in the body. Disunity in the body. Schism in the body. That's where the body's tampered. And the body is, oh, I'm better than you. Oh, I'm this. And that's why it's all the problems in the church. Body of Christ. I'm better. You're better. Nobody's better. How dare they say that? They didn't even say hello to me. Okay. See what spirit is causing that? And that schism remains. Let me show you in 2 Corinthians 10:8. Who it is? For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us for edification, listen to this, and not for your destruction, I should be not ashamed. One of the things that the Canaanite spirits bring is shame, systematic shame. They live in shame. They live that way. The victims of these perversions, the victim of these addictions, want to be by themselves. They want to get off somewhere in the corner. They're ashamed. They're ashamed. They don't want to be exposed, because when they're exposed, notice what it says. It's for edification. When they get out there, somebody can help them, so they keep them in the back room. They keep them hidden until they're caught. And they do these things because the addiction, let me go over here and sell you some things. Here's some of this white powder. Go ahead. Go ahead. Like I heard this morning, an individual was caught that had enough fentanyl to kill 50,000 people. Isn't that amazing? 50,000 people that guy had. Think of the destruction there. Think of the destruction. And that's how these spirits work. They generate destruction. Ephesians 4. Now, here comes God. God says, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to help you. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Okay. 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How long will there be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers? He tells us, 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'll tell you how long, until the body of Christ grows up. They get in the unity of faith. They have the knowledge of the Son of God. They become mature. That's what the word perfect means. Actually means mature. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Stature. They become an individual that's grown up in Jesus. Now, I want to show you something here, because it's really brings out some things I think will help you. In verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, let's look at that passage of scripture. Let's do some word study here. Four. Notice what it says. For the perfecting of the saints. For the purpose of. For unto. Notice what it says. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. And what it's saying is that there's no punctuation in the original Aramaic here. English puts in punctuation, comma, comma. No comma there. It's one thought. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's not for the perfecting of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry, comma, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So when you put this together, you'll see what really Paul's trying to tell us. And the enemy hates this. This Canaanite spirit hates this. For is unto. For the purpose of perfecting the saints unto the work of the ministry. It's the saint. These are not saints that some ecclesiastical order has designated to be saints. That's you. If you're a child of God and you love Jesus, he's in your heart. He's talking to you. Not some picture on the wall from some ecclesiastical order. No. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teacher, for what purpose? To perfect you. Perfect you. And by perfecting you, he ministers to you. And when you look at that, it's not to rule over you, but to equip you. It's not to rule over you and beat you over the head all the time. No, it's to equip you. Why? To bring into the unity of the faith. Unity of faith. And these spirits operate in counterproduction to this passage. Now, one of the things they use is the word shame. You're going to talk about that. The next spirit that we talk about, that's their, shall we say, calling card. It's shame. Shame, shame, shame. The next one we deal with in shame. The Amalekites, we know, deals in kings and image and exaltation. And they hate everything and try to bring everything down. That's what they do. But the Canaanite spirit tries to get you when you're ashamed and live that way. Live under everybody's feet. That's what they do. That's what that spirit does. Exactly what they do. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 4. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. Sounds like a Christmas passage, but I want you to see something here. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, who absolutely had the Amalekite spirit within him, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, verse 2, where is he that is born of the Jews, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Okay? 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. Notice, and all Jerusalem with him. So the word got out into Jerusalem about these three wise men from the east, and it got out. And Herod was upset, and everybody else was upset with him. 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests, scribes, and of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, I want you to see something here. All right, notice Herod the king, he's upset because another king is born king of the Jews, which Herod knows, wait a minute, there can't be any other king but me, and what's this account of some other king being there? Now, he gathered, notice what he did, he gathers the chief, look at this, priests and scribes. The priests are Jebusites. The scribes are Gershonites. We went through that. We had big studies on this. Understand what's going. And in verse 16, Herod takes action. That's what he does. See, then Herod, when he saw that his mock of the wise man, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth. Look what he did. And slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. He takes action. What does he do? He goes against the poor people. And that's exactly what these people are. They were peasants. They had nothing. They're ashamed. They were ashamed. They lived in little pockets. Bethlehem was a very, very, very poor town. Poor town. So the king with the Amalekite spirit goes and kills all the children 2 years of age and under. See how this? Because usually the poor are ashamed. You know, I don't have anything. I don't have nothing. Now look at this in Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, poor people feel unimportant and irreverent. Just this, you know, they have no say-so. But they don't know that special authority is given to them to overflow the Amalekite kingdom. That's right. And to conquer potential individuals with true prosperity. That's right. That's right. True prosperity. What is true prosperity inside the Amalekite kingdom and the Amalekite spirit? What is really that true prosperity that is out there? Going to find out tomorrow.